Okay, so tonight we return finally to our Parsha Shir and discussing the positions of the Rambam and the Ramban as it pertains to the Parsha. So Parsha Kedoshim. The Parsha contains many mitzvot, and in fact, it contains quite a few debates between Rambam and Ramban, but I'm going to pick the first one, which the debate won't be necessarily readily apparent without looking first at Rashi. So, the very beginning of the parsha starts with "Daber al kol adat bnei Yisrael v'amar taleim kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokecha." Moshe speaks to bnei Yisrael. One of the few times he speaks to them when everybody's all together, and he tells them before he tells all the list of the mitzvahs, he tells them, "You should be holy." Hashem says, "You should be holy," because Hashem says, "I am holy." Fine. So, what does it mean to be holy? So Rashi writes right away, quoting the Sifra, "Hevu prushim min ha'arayot u'min ha'avera." You should stay far away from sin and from arayot, from licentiousness, from sexual sinning. Shekol makom she'atamotze geder eva, atamotze. Because everywhere you find a geder between erva and you, that's where you find kedusha. Isha zonah v'chalala, ani Hashem mekadishchem. V'lo yechalal zaro, ani Hashem mekadisho. Kedoshim yihyu, isha zonah v'chalala. There's always a connection between kedusha and staying far away from improper relationships between men and women. So Rashi understands that this very first pasuk out of the gate is talking about keeping far away from gilui arayot. It happens to be that the parsha ends with Gilui Arayot. Actually, it happens to be that the parsha, previous parsha, ended with the Gilui Arayot also, and this parsha also ends with Gilui Arayot. So it's kind of all over there, with I guess a brief interlude of many mitzvot in between. But basically, in a nutshell, Rashi understands that the only topic being discussed when we have Kedoshim Tehiyu is staying far away from Gilui Arayot, and it appears that Rashi is saying that it simply means don't be involved in Gilui Arayot. It's not really adding anything, just saying don't be involved in it. Ramban, in one of his most famous comments, probably one of the top two comments that he makes on the entire Torah, quotes Rashi and then says, "Aval, b'torat kohanim, ra'iti stam, prushim tihiyu." He says in his version of the Midrash, in Torat Kohanim, all it says is prushim tihiyu, nothing about Arayot. וכן שנו שם והתקדישתם והייתם קדושים כי קדוש אני, כשם שאני קדוש ככה אתם תהיו קדושים, כשם שאני פרוש ככה אתם תהיו פרושים. And it says, Hashem says, just like I am holy, you should be holy. Just like I am separate, להיות פרוש is to be separate. Just like I am separate, you should be separate. Ramban says, לפי דעתי, אין הפרשות הזו לפרוש מן הרעיות. This prishut is not necessarily referring to staying far away from Arayot, from Gilui Arayot. Anybody want to throw out a guess as to why Ramban is so sure that reading the Midrash without adding in Gilui Arayot, there's no reason to think that it's talking about Gilui Arayot? Meaning Rashi jumped, seemingly stuck that in there. It seemed reasonable. Why does Ramban think it's not reasonable?
If the pasuk says Ki Kadosh Ani, you can't associate Hashem with Arayot at all.
Okay, good. Exactly. I think 100% that you're correct. That if you read the pasuk as Ki Kadosh Ani, according to the Midrash, means like I am Kadosh, you should be Kadosh, then it really makes no sense to say it's talking specifically about Gilui Arayot. Whatever Kedusha is, it's a category apparently that applies to God. And staying far away from Gilui Arayot is not something that we really apply to God, in any meaningful sense. So the Ramban says, לפי דעתי אין הפרישות הזו לפרוש מן הראיות כדברי רב, אבל הפרישות היא המוזכרת בכל מקום בתלמוד שבעליה נקראים פרושים. He says, this prishut, this kedusha, is the same kind of prishut that's always referred to in the Talmud, in many places in the Gemara. So what is it? והעניין, כי התורה הזהירה בעריות ובמאכלים אסורים, והתירה הביאה אשתו ואכילת הבשר והיין. He says, number one, step number one, we have to notice that the Torah, it prohibits Gilui Arayot, and it prohibits forbidden foods like chazir or basar v'chalav or many other kinds of foods that are absolutely prohibited even a little bit. And yet, it says nothing about the amount of times that a man will be with his wife or the amount of meat or wine that a person can consume during the day. There's no shi'ur. There's no upper shi'ur of how much meat you're allowed to eat. Imke, yimtza ba'al ta'ava, makom liyot shatuf bezimat ishto anashav harabot, v'liyot bosev, besov'e yayin bezolei basar lamo, v'idaber kirtzono b'chol anevelot shalu uskar isu erzeh b'torah. What will happen? A person will say, well, the Torah says that there's no problem with being involved with my wife as many times as I want. There's no problem with eating as much or drinking as much wine as I want. The Torah has no problem with it. And therefore, he's going to get himself mixed up with it and be gluttonous and constantly be involved with it. And Ramban says, naval birshut ha-Torah. He will be a naval birshut ha-Torah. Who wants to translate naval? So there's no really great translation.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. Okay. I think that Rabbi Lichtenstein, when he was writing articles, I think he said a scoundrel with the permission of the Torah, also degenerate maybe. The truth is that the word naval shows up in the Torah. And Ben is not making it up out of thin air. Anybody know where it shows up?
Naval Tibol.
Naval Tibol. Am naval v'lo chacham. Parshat Hazinu, right? The idea is over there, Ramban is clear, also over there, by the way, naval over there means to be ungrateful, which is interesting. How, you know, why would that word mean ungrateful over there? Why would it be used over here? Okay, well, one way or another, Ramban is saying that to be naval b'rishut Torah is to say, okay, well, the Torah doesn't say it's usher, therefore it's mutter, and I can do it as much as I want. The fichach ba'akatuv, achare she'parat ha'isarim she'asar otam legamrei, therefore, the Torah says, after giving you a list of all the things that are absolutely asur, even in small quantities, the Torah says, kedoshim to you, and the meaning of that is to not be gluttonous, not to indulge in too many ta'avot, as much as you want. It says, to be parush min hamotarot, to separate yourself from overindulgence. Yima'et b'mishgal, to reduce the amount of times that you sleep with your wife. Kinyan shamru shelo yutal midei chachamim mitzuyin etzel neshotem ketarnegolim v'lo yishamesh alak v'yitzarich b'kiyum ha-mitzvah mimenu. You should do it as many times as necessary to be mekayim the mitzvah, mitzvah ona, the mitzvah puravu, but that's how many times. Yikadesh asmo min hayayin, and also with regards to wine, b'miyuto. Kemo shekara katuv ha-nazir kadosh. Ramban says the nazir is called kadosh because he stays away from wine. And of course, the Torah expresses to us its views about wine by telling us the stories of Noach and Lot. And so too, staying far away from Tum'ah itself, from formal Tum'ah, that's also a value. There's an idea of a parush who stays far away from Tum'ah, even though the Torah never says it's asur to become Tamei. The Torah never says that. But we stay far away from it.
How do you connect that with Kiani Kadosh?
To be Parush. Kadosh, according to the Midrash, is to be Parush. It means to be somewhat separated from this world. Not to be too much of it. Right? There's a poem like that. I can't remember it. But not to be too indulged and surrounded by the world so that you get yourself lost in it. That's what it means to be Parush, to be separated a little bit. Okay. And the Torah demands that by saying Kedoshim to you.
Okay. It's just, you know, the idea of Hashem being, it sort of sounds as if Hashem kind of indulges in some of this stuff, but just in moderation.
Yeah, fair. Okay, very good. So good. So Barbara's making a good point. Barbara's saying, well, has the Ramban really helped himself after all? If the point is to be like Hashem, does Hashem avoid eating too much? Does he avoid drinking too much? Does he avoid? These are things that he doesn't get involved in. But what's the answer to that? The answer to that is that we are trying to imitate God's Kedusha. You're right. God does not get involved at all in any of these things. But we're human. We're human. So we have to. So Ramban is saying, though, to be more godlike, you have to limit your interaction with these things. Because God doesn't do it at all.
So because the extreme, you know, you could take that to an extreme and say you should be ascetic, you know, and not do any of it if you're going to be like Hashem. You know?
That's right. That's right. Well, the Ramban's getting very close to that because he's extolling the virtues of the Nazir, who says, I'm not going to have any wine anymore at all, right? And, you know, one could read this Ramban as saying, yes, you should be ascetic. Do exactly what you need to and no more.
Mm.
But he goes more. He does more. V'gam yishmor piv v'lishonom yitgael. And also, keep your mouth free from becoming disgusting. V'ribuy ha'achila ha'gasa. Uu min ha'dibor animas. Not to eat too much and not to talk in disgusting ways. Kinyanchi yizkira katuv. V'kol pe dover nivela. It's another place where that comes up. You stay far away from nivela. Okay, so this is the general idea that the Ramban's getting across of prishut min hamotarot, from indulgences. V'kadesh asmon bezeat she'agil ha'prishut, k'ma she'amra Rabbi Chiya. You know what they said about Rabbi Chiya? Shelo sach sicha b'teila mi'amav. He never said an extra word in his life. Be'elu u'b'kayotze behen. Ba'aha mitzvah zot ha'klalit, acharei she'peret kol ha'avirot she'hen asurot. Okay, now, Ramban has to deal with the question of, well, if that's the case, then why didn't the Torah say so? Why doesn't the Torah say, don't eat too much? Don't drink too much. Why doesn't it say that? So Ramban says that's not the Torah style. What's the Torah style? The Torah style is acharei she'peret kol averot. After the Torah gives absolute and direct and distinct averot, she'en asirot legamrei, ad she'ikanes b'klal zot ha'tzava ha'nikiyut b'yadav v'gufo. So he says after that, after that, it says, and stay away from ugly things and from disgusting things. To give specific mitzvot, specific averot, and then to make a general category. And what's our job? Our job is our job is to figure out based on the details what the general rule is. That's our job. Based on what the Torah says specifically, our job is to go the next step and try to figure out what the ultimate goal of the Torah is. Where is it, you know, what's the trajectory that we're supposed to be on? And Ramban gives other examples. He gives an example of Asita Yashar Atov, which is a mitzvah that shows up in Parshat Tvarim, which doesn't mean anything, right? Do the righteous and the good. What does that mean? How do you know what's righteous and good? The answer is, look at all the things that you're not allowed to do. Not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to oppress, the ger. You're not allowed to do damages. All these things lead you to understanding how to fill the gaps in between those things. To go, what he calls, lifnim mishurat adim. And he gives another example of Shabbat. He says, on Shabbat, we have certain malachot that are asur. And based on that, we're supposed to come to an understanding of what the spirit of Shabbat is and not to do anything that contradicts the spirit of Shabbat. And that's actually captured in Bayom HaShviyi Tishbot, that on the seventh day, we have to rest. What does that mean? We already know that you're not allowed to do malacha, so what does resting mean? So it means figure out what all the malachot are. They're constructive. Don't get involved in anything constructive. Don't get involved in anything that's going to be overly exertive. Okay, so this is the Ramban's view. Now, do we know what the Rambam thinks about this? So the Rambam didn't write a commentary on the Torah. He doesn't really address this so much to the Morne Bruchim, but he does mention the Pasuk of Kedoshim Tihiyu in a different place. He mentions it in his Shorashim to the Sefer HaMitzvot. The Rambam wrote a book called Sefer HaMitzvot where he lists all the mitzvot in the Torah, and you will not find Kedoshim Tihiyu listed there. But that's not a big deal. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. What you will find, however, in his Shorashim, which is where he describes how he went about counting the mitzvot, what kinds of mitzvot he counts, what kinds of mitzvot he doesn't count. Over there, he says the following in the fourth shorash. He says, behold, that there are commands and warnings that appear in the Torah that are not about a specific thing, but rather include all of the commandments. Okay? It is as if to say, do everything that I have commanded you to do and be careful about anything from which I have prohibited you. Now, is that a new mitzvah? Do everything I told you to do and don't do anything I didn't tell you to do. Is that a mitzvah?
No.
Does it really, does it add anything in terms of new knowledge or new instructions? No. And so the Rambam says, there is no room to count this command on its own, as it does not command us to do a specific act, such that it should be a positive commandment, nor does it warn us from doing a specific act, such that it should be a negative commandment. So he says, I'm not going to count any of those mitzvot. So what's an example of those mitzvot? So he gives examples. Be on guard concerning all that I have told you, right? Shamor tishmarun. You shall keep my statutes. You shall keep my judgments. You shall keep my covenant. You shall keep my charge. All these things are, you know, broad psukim, which simply mean everything I've said up until now, be careful about them. Doesn't add anything necessarily. You could add things, I'll be drush, but it doesn't add anything functionally. And then he drops, and others have already erred in this principle. He says, other rabbis who list mitzvot in the Torah, they made a mistake. And what do? They counted, you shall be holy. Kedoshim tihiyu. They counted kedoshim tihiyu as a mitzvah to be included among the positive commandments. What? Why would they do that? They did not know that kedoshim tihiyu and v'it kadisha v'item kedoshim are commands to keep the whole Torah. They're simply broad statements telling you keep the Torah. It is as if it said, be holy by doing everything I've commanded you and be careful about anything I have prohibited to you. That's all it means. Do the mitzvot, don't do the averot. Is the Rambam on the side of Ramban or Rashi?
Ramban.
Do you think the Rambam is on the side of Ramban? Well, let's think.
Well, Ramban is saying, use your synergize. You know, don't. Saying use your judgment as to what's allowed and what's acceptable,
exactly.
What's too much, what's too little. Yeah.
And so when the Ramban says that, does he view Kedoshim Tiyu as adding anything, adding extra special requirements? Or is it simply a summarization of what came before it?
It's a summarization, isn't it?
According to Ramban or according to Rambam?
I think so, both.
Well, according to Rambam, it definitely is a summarization. He says, the only thing Kedoshim Tiyu is saying is everything I told you not to do, don't do. Everything I told you to do, you should
right.
do. But keep in mind, the Ramban said, actually, the Torah never said, don't eat too much meat, right? Or don't drink too much wine. He never said that.
I see.
However, you're not allowed to. And how do you know you're not allowed to? Because it says Kedoshim Tiyu, which
see.
Means Kedoshim Tiyu adds something. Something new that you would not have known. The Rambam seems to have no room for that over here because he interprets Kedoshim Tiyu as simply meaning, okay, I give you a list of mitzvos. I'm about to give you a list of mitzvos. Pay attention to what they are and do them. That's all. He continues. He says, the words of the Sifra, you shall be holy, you shall be separated. That means to say, separate from all the disgraceful things that I have prohibited to you. And in the Mechilta, when Isi ben Yehuda says, when the Holy One, blessed be He, originates a commandment for Israel, He adds holiness to them. Meaning to say, the commandment, this command, Kedoshim Tiyu, is not a command in itself, but rather follows from the commands that they have been commanded. So one who fulfills this command will be called holy. Meaning, what is added, according to the Rambam, when it says Kedoshim Tiyu, simply that if you follow the mitzvot, do them, and don't do the averot, what will happen?
You'll become holy.
You will be holy. You'll be kadosh. So the command of Kedoshim Tiyu, if it adds anything at all, is simply a reiteration of everything that came before it and after it, and saying, make sure you do those things so that you will be holy.
It's a consequence.
Or it's an encouragement, do these things so that you'll be holy. But it doesn't require of you anything beyond what was already written. Okay. Now, the Ramban, in his Hasagot, comments on this Rambam. He has a gloss on the Sharashim of the Rambam. You might have expected the Ramban to give his whole spiel again, right? Everything he wrote in the Parsha, he should say the whole thing and say, Ramban, I think you're wrong. Rambam, I think you're wrong. Kedoshim Tiyu adds on. He doesn't do that.
Can I ask you a simple question? Were they contemporaries or?
The Ramban lived a little bit after the Rambam. They might have been alive. There might have been some kind of, I can't remember exactly when the Rambam died, but he lived after the Rambam. The Ramban knew the Rambam's works well, but not vice versa.
Okay.
So Ramban, in his glosses on the Rambam, says, "Baal halachot gedolot, lo mana kedoshim tiyu, aval mana v'yitkadishim itam kedoshim." So first, the Ramban gets pedantic, okay, because the one that the Rambam was accusing of adding, according to Ramban, was the Bahag, the Baal halachot gedolot, one of the major Gaonim who wrote a book of mitzvot, who the Rambam frequently criticizes.
Who's the Bahag? Sorry, I've
Bahag is the name of the Sefer. It's called Baal Halachot. The Halachot Gedolot is the name of the Sefer, which is a list of mitzvot. Right. And they call him the Baal Halachot Gedolot. That's what we call him. He's one of the Gaonim.
Oh, so it's somebody else.
That's right. The Ramban is saying, the Rambam, Maimonides, who was he criticizing when he said, oh, there's a rabbi who counted Kedoshim Tihiyu as one of the mitzvot? He was criticizing the Bahag. So the Ramban says, I'm going to defend the Bahag. And he says two things. He says, first of all, the Rambam made a mistake because he said that the Bahag counted Kedoshim Tihiyu. And he didn't. He really counted a different pasuk, Vihit Kadishem, Vihitem Kedoshim. He says, first of all, you got the pasuk wrong. But okay, fine. But what does it mean? He says, "Hakdusha be'emet liot prushim, v'asher hem klal l'miniyat kulan lo yimnu, kedoshim tiyu u'shmartem et mitzvotai u'shmarta." Okay, etc., etc., etc. He says, "Aval amru yitaleh v'itgadishem v'hitem kedoshim hi mitzvah lihiot kedoshim mitlitamei ba'achilat hashvatim v'harmasim v'yuchod." He says, "Let's get it right." He says, "The Bahag did count the mitzvah of becoming kadosh, but he counted it in a specific context according to the Bahag." There is an isur d'oraita, or rather I should say there is a mitzvah d'oraita to stay far away from tum'ah. That's the mitzvah. Now, this is not a mitzvah that the Rambam has, but according to Ramban, the Bahag counted kedoshim tihiyu because according to the Bahag, or not kedoshim tihiyu, but v'hit kadishim v'hitam kedoshim, because the Bahag believes that there's a mitzvah d'oraita to stay far away from tum'ah. If you stay far away from touching shvatzim, these little creepy crawly creatures, or you stay far away from becoming tamemet, or from anything like that, then you're being mekayim a mitzvat aseh, according to the Bahag. And the Ramban goes on afterwards, and he says,
A mitzvat aseh.
And the Ramban goes on and he says, and by the way, sometimes you have this. Sometimes you have where there's an isur, and then the Torah adds on a mitzvat aseh in order to tell you to stay far away from that. Okay, you can have that sometimes, like on Shabbat, on Yom Tov, on Yom Kippur as well. You can have a lo ta'aseh couched in the language of mitzvat aseh. Mm-hmm. So the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam and says, I can find you a Rishon who says, I can find you a Gaon who says that Kedoshim Tihiyu is a mitzvah, but not the kind of mitzvah that you're thinking of. However, there is another Rishon, the Smak. This is the Sefer Mitzvot Katan, also one who listed mitzvot. And he's much closer to Ramban himself. He says, Lasod ifni mishurat adin, to go above and beyond the law, which is what we're talking about, right? To go in between the mitzvot and find the gaps and to fulfill them. Okay, this idea of going lifnim mishurat adin, you find in the Smak. He thinks it's a mitzvat aseh min haTorah, to go above and beyond the law, which is essentially what the Ramban says about the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tihiyu. So what you have over here is that the Ramban is of the view that there is something added by Kedoshim Tihiyu, this, you know, filling in the gaps, going in between the holes of the mitzvot and finding what the Torah's real intention was. And that's a mitzvah taseh min haTorah. Versus the Rambam and Rashi, who believe that, no, Kedoshim Tihiyu is kind of a reiteration of the mitzvot of the Torah. Or, if you will, it's a consequence or an encouragement to people that if you do the mitzvot of the Torah as stated, you will be holy. But not a requirement to go beyond that. So now we have two things.
How does he deal with the thing of, you know, being a glutton and so on?
Who?
Saying that the Ram, hang on a minute.
Maimonides.
Yeah.
We'll see that in a second. On the face of it, he doesn't. He doesn't have anything to say about that. He doesn't have to say anything about that. He will, as we'll see. But it will be a little bit more nuanced.
Okay.
But before we get back to the Rambam, I just want to mention one nice little thing that you'll find in the Ramban. Many people don't know about this. In Sefer Dvarim, when we get to Parshas Ki Teitzeh, and we learn about the mitzvah of Ben Sora Umoreh, this is the boy who the rebellious child who manages to get himself in very, very big trouble by stealing from his parents and eating massive amounts of meat and getting involved in lots of crime. And doing all of this at the age of 13, between the age of 13 and 13 and a half, basically. And this child who never has never existed and probably will never exist is stoned to death. And the Ramban says, what? That's crazy. Why do we do that? He didn't even necessarily, I mean, none of the things that he did were actually liable to the death penalty. He didn't kill anybody. It doesn't say he violated Shabbat. He stole and he was mean. That's what he did. So Ramban says two possibilities. This is number one. First of all, this is not a katan. Shakatan patur mikol anshir b'torah. He's an adult, but he's at the cusp. U'mikol mitzvot aval hu him evi shtei sarot. He is already an adult. V'nei yesh alav shnei onshin. He has two real punishments. What are they? Number one, shu makle aviv v'imo u'mamer behem. Number one, he rebels against his parents, and he curses them out. Okay, which is actually mentioned in our parsha. What's the pasuk? There's Ishimov Aviv Tirao at the beginning, and there's Makeh, and then there's Kalel. I'm a Kalel Aviv Imo Gamken Motumat. Also, so number one, he's cursing his parents, he's disrespecting his parents, so therefore that might be it alone. But then the Ramban says something amazing. Look at this, Vahasheni Shuzozel Vesove, which is terminology applied to the Bensoro Mare, which means he is a glutton. Okay, he eats and he drinks and he is out of control. Over al mashinitztavenu kedoshim tihyu. The second mitzvah that this child is in violation of, which is giving him the death penalty, is kedoshim tihyu. Now this is simply amazing.
Why is that liable for the death penalty?
That's an excellent question. And also, if an adult violates kedoshim tihyu, should he be liable to the death penalty?
Absolutely not.
No. So it's very, very strange. Now, the Gemara gets into this and says that he's really being put to death because of the future. He's not really being, it's not a punishment. It's a preventative measure so that he doesn't go down the wrong path, which is its own sugyum. And we can talk about Bensorah where we can get there. But the Ramban's cutting that off the pass and saying that actually he's in violation of something very serious, Kedoshim Tiyu, which seems strange because Kedoshim Tiyu is a nice mitzvah, but it's lacking something in terms of the death penalty. So there's two possibilities that I can think of. First possibility that I can think of is that it's a sign of what's going to happen later on. Right? He'll never be able to be Mekayim Kedoshim Tihyu. And that's the ultimate goal of being a Jew, is to get, you know, achieve Kedoshim Tihyu. So because he's like this, he's never going to make it. But let me say that in a more nuanced fashion. And here I'm going to just speculate, go out on a limb, and this may be completely untrue what I'm about to say. But you are very often find with children as they arrive at the age of Bar and Bat Mitzvah that at least for a certain amount of time there's a little bit of a personality change. They feel a sense of responsibility. They feel a sense of achrayut, of adulthood, of being a little bit more serious. It's at that juncture in our culture, because Bar and Bat Mitzvah is what it is. And what it could be is that if this person at this juncture can't even muster up the sense of propriety not to be involved in these kinds of activities, then that is a very bad sign. That is something that we can't countenance. If an adult, after years and years and years of the wear and tear of life, can't achieve Kedoshim Tiyu, that's understandable. But if someone at this juncture, right after the Bar Mitzvah, is acting like this, then that's a big problem. Okay, that's my speculation. But you see over here that the Ramban finds actual halachic significance to Kedoshim Tiyu. Okay, one more thing that I wanted to show you. Rav Lichtenstein, in his article, Does Judaism Recognize an Ethic, Ethic Independent of Halacha? So he compares the Ramban and the Rambam. And he says, it seems like that Maimonides, that the Rambam, like Barbara pointed out before, has no room for this, filling in the gaps, for this going above and beyond. So Rav Lichtenstein says, that's not really true. Maimonides does apparently treat Lifnim Meshurat HaDin within a more rarefied context. After presenting his account of the golden mean in the opening chapter of Hilchot Deot, he concludes, and the early pietists would incline their traits from the median path toward either extreme. One trait they would incline toward the further extreme, another toward the nearer, and this is Lifnim Meshurat HaDin. What is he talking about? So let's look at the Rambam himself. The Rambam says, you know that the Rambam has this idea of the golden mean, of trying with every trait to stay in the middle, not to be too merciful, not to be too cruel, not to be too generous, not to be too miserly, right? There's always a golden path. So he says, there are those that are medakdek, v'yitrachek midea benonit, ma'at letzadze o letzadze, nikra chasid. A person who stays, who veers off from the golden mean, in the right direction, obviously, is called a chassid. Ketzad mitri drachek migova alev arakateha acharon v'yeshval ruach biyoter nikra chassid. Zoi midat chassidut. V'im midrachek ada emza bilvad v'yanav nikra chacham. Zoi midat chokma. So you have a person who's a chacham who stays in the middle. Then you have a chassid who stays to the side. V'aderach zu shar kol adiot. The chassidim rishonim ayu matin deot shalahem midrach emtzayit keneged shtei ktavot. Sometimes they go to one side, sometimes they go to the other, in the appropriate way. And what is this called? This is called halachta bidrachav. This is walking in his path. Whose path?
God's path.
God's path. Kach lamdu beperish mitzvah zu. Ma'u nikra chanun afatai yechanun. Does Hashem walk in the middle path? No. He walks a little bit to the side. Ma'u nikra rachum afatai yerachum. Person should go lifnim mishurat hadin. Shurat hadin is in the middle, but a person should go beyond that. That's what Rav Lichtenstein is talking about over here. Now, what does that mean? So he says, on this view, super legal conduct, that means going above and beyond, appears as the hallmark of a small coterie of chassidim, postulated as an aristocratic rather than as a popular ideal. Lifnim Meshurat HaDin thus represents a lofty plane whose attainment is a mark of eminence, but whose neglect cannot be faulted as reprehensible. That's a Rav Lichtenstein way of saying that according to the Rambam, going Lifnim Meshurat HaDin is something that you should aspire to, but is not something that is considered terrible if you don't achieve it. This is, of course, drastically different from Nachmanides, the Ramban, and may be construed as indicating, contrary to my earlier statement, that according to Maimonides, the Lifnim Meshurat HaDin is purely optional, that it constitutes a kind of supererogatory extra credit morality rather than an obligation, strictly speaking. Okay, so one way of seeing this is that the Ramban views Kedoshim Tiyu as something that we should be aspiring to and also something that obligates us. We are obligated to get the Kedoshim Tiyu. Will we? No, not necessarily, but we are obligated to try. According to the Rambam, not so much. It's good if you're on that level, but if you're not, it's not. Even if the argument is accepted, it would not render Lifnim Meshurat HaDin wholly voluntary. It would merely shift it, to use Lon Fuller's distinction, I have no idea what that is, from the morality of duty to the morality of aspiration. But a Jew is also commanded to aspire, Rav Lichtenstein says. More important, however, this point has little impact upon our present broader purposes. The semantics and substance of the term Lifnim Meshurat HaDin aside, Maimonides most certainly does not regard that development, et cetera, as optional. Okay, so Rav Lichtenstein wants to say that in the end of the day, both according to the Rambam and according to Ramban, it is obligatory to try to achieve and aspire to be higher. What I think is interesting, though, is just depending on where you place the mitzvah, right? Are we trying to imitate God, like the Rambam says, in the midot sense, right? Are we trying to be like God is? So we should try to be rachum like Hashem? Because that doesn't translate well, as Barbara pointed out, that doesn't translate well to, okay, and also I should stay far away from drinking too much wine. Because God doesn't drink wine, right? So that can't be part of v'halachta bidrachav, I would think. On the other hand, according to the Ramban, this is not about imitating God. This is about trying to imitate the quality of God of prishut, specifically. Of trying to limit our reliance and indulgence in the world. And that's going to be primarily in the physical sense. Also could be in the midot sense. But I don't think, Ad Rav Chassid says, I don't think they really dovetail that much. They seem to be totally different, on different trajectories. So I think that's an interesting machloket here between Rambam and Ramban about how to view Kedoshim Tiyu. The Ramban says Kedoshim Tiyu is an independent mitzvah which requires us to seek out the ultimate values of the Torah based on the mitzvot. Whereas the Rambam doesn't think that that's what Kedoshim Tiyu means. He thinks that Kedoshim is a outgrowth of naturally following the mitzvot as they are. The Rambam does have an idea of Lifni Mishurat Adin, which is in Kedosh in Vahalachta Bidrachav, which means to try to strive to be like God in the Midot sense. But I don't know that it covers the same things that the Ramban's Kedoshim Tiyu covers. All right, that's what I wanted to present tonight. Shakoch, everybody. Some food for thought, this idea.
By the way, Wikipedia tells us that Lon Fuller was an American legal philosopher who died in 1978.
Okay, there you go. That was. Now we know all about him.
Can I just?
You can read more on Wikipedia.
Is it? Sorry, just going back to. Is it the case that the Rambam for the Rambam? Kedoshim Tiyu is something that we proactively aim for in sort of navigating our way through the mitzvot and the extent to which we do things. And for the Rambam, it's a consequence of what is that? Have I got that right?
That's right.
Okay.
And one of them requires, according to that, one of them requires a little bit more than the other. Because for the Rambam, essentially, you know, the mitzvot could be seen as kind of a ceiling. That's how some people put it, as a ceiling of, you know, what's required of us. And according to Ramban, it's really just the floor.
Mm.
All right. Have a good night, everyone. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Welcome.
Shkoyach, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.